This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee. Now there's a wistful note in the tone of our Lord speaking through the preacher Jeremiah. There's a sad note in this word from the Lord. There's a note of remembering a better day in the relationship. I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth. There's going to be a contrast between the way it used to be and the way it is now. I remember the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals. This is the word picture of a newly married couple. When the fires of love are ardent and fervent, and the love is strong, I remember, says God to Israel, the love of thine espousals. Now, remember, it's past tense. Something has gone out of the relationship between Jehovah and the people of Israel. I remember when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. God says to Israel, you followed me. You followed me from Egypt out into a wilderness when you loved me. Israel then understood. Israel was holiness unto the Lord and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Now, go down to verse 7. The Lord God, through the preacher, continues to recount the history of the past relationship. And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, past tense, ye defiled my land and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, where is the Lord? The priest did not even miss me, says God. The priest didn't even say, where's God? The relationship was allowed to lapse, and nobody missed God, the very God who had brought them into the promised land. And they that handled the law knew me not. The lawyers, the teachers of the law didn't know me any longer. The pastors also transgressed against me. What a word of condemnation against pastors. The shepherds of the people, the pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal, a false god, and walked after things that do not profit. Verse 10. For pass over the isles of Kittim and see. Take notice, says God. Take a survey. Take a good, long, hard look at the spiritual reality in Israel. Take a survey. Look at what's going on spiritually. Pass over the isles of Kittim and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods, but my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Take a survey and see if there's any nation that has done what Israel has done to me. Does this make any sense, what Israel has done to me? Find another nation that has so turned her back against the source of her blessing as Israel. Find it if you can. And of course, the understood answer is, no, we can't find a nation as ungrateful as Israel. We cannot find a nation that's been so unkind and ungrateful to her beloved as Israel. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. On the one hand, understood, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And then on the other hand, the second evil, they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. As I've indicated, these verses record the Lord God's lament. It's a lamentation. It's a dirge. The passage records the Lord's dirge. It's almost like a funeral song over Israel's lost love and lost respect for him. It's a story of lost love. And the Lord is lamenting. I have two texts, and I will bring part two of this message this evening in the 6 o'clock service, the Lord being our helper. I have two texts. First of all, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 2a. The preacher says, go and cry. Go and cry. The Hebrew word is kara. That's the verb. Go and kara. And kara means to proclaim or to call loudly. Go and kara. Proclaim. Call loud. Tell everybody. Or as it is in our precious authorized, go and cry. And let's remember that to cry, which means to call aloud, also means to weep. And Jeremiah did both. Jeremiah was the crying prophet. He was the weeping preacher. He was also the preacher who was told to cry aloud and proclaim. Go and cry, said God through the preacher. Then the second text is verse 11b. My people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. In Jeremiah 2, verse 11b, a change or exchange, a bad exchange, a foolish exchange takes place. Have you ever made a bad deal? I have. I've made a few of them. Have you ever made a deal that you live to regret? Whether buying a car or buying a piece of real estate. God says that the people of Israel are making a bad deal, a bad exchange. Recall also over in the New Testament, Mark 8, 36 and 37 read, for what shall it profit a man? My people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. And in the New Testament, God says, what shall it profit a man or a nation if he or that nation shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? In both the Jeremiah and Mark passages, we have the image of the marketplace or the business world. And what's taking place is a bad deal. Someone is about to get the short end of the stick. A bad exchange. An exchange with no profit in it is taking place. A bartering, a deal is taking place. And in both the Mark account and here in Jeremiah, the deal's a bad. for the ones who are doing the dealing. I would submit, following up on the tender words of our solo this morning, I would submit that America is right now in the midst of making a very bad, foolish deal against God. What America needs is repentance. We are right now making a very bad exchange, a very bad deal with the God who loves America. And the God who helped carve this nation out of a wilderness. America is in process of making a very bad exchange, a bad deal with respect to Almighty God. On this Independence Day weekend, please consider with me three nations that make bad deals. Three nations that make bad deals, or three nations to cry for. Three nations to cry for. We don't get our handkerchiefs out much here at the Fellowship of Amazing Grace. I've been in some Baptist churches where people wave handkerchiefs when they get happy and rejoice. And my camp meeting roots, regularly saw people waving their handkerchiefs. They were filled with joy. But it seems to me that this weekend, maybe we should pull out some handkerchiefs and shed some tears over the state of our nation. The discourse of this country has sunk to a level that embarrasses me. I love America. Most of you know I was not born and raised here. You can go way back to the election which featured George McGovern. Of course, he was not elected. And I have been glued to the news all the way back to that point. I was a Canadian at that point. I love this country. I chose to come here. I love the United States. And we came over to stay in 82. I've tried to invest my little life in helping my adopted country be just a little bit better. And shouldn't we all try to do that? But I must tell you, I'm embarrassed at the level of the discourse in this nation. Now, we can stand for right. We can stand for right principles without stooping to the level. Don't misunderstand me. We should talk up, but you don't accomplish anything by stooping to the level of garbage talk. Come on. You say, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. I'm telling the truth. We have to lift America. And you don't lift a family or a nation by getting down in the gutter. Lift. Leadership is supposed to lift. And I'm for the president. I pray for him. I'm certainly for the vice president. But we need to be lifting America. You don't lift a nation by trash talk. You say, and all this on Independence Day weekend. I'm a Republican and I don't like what you said. Well, honey, I didn't get my sermon from you. I get my preaching from God. And we don't change people by stooping to a low level. We rise above. A parent doesn't teach a child about temper by throwing a temper tantrum. Imagine the little boy throws himself down on the floor and kicks his feet. Oh, your family is so good. You've never seen a child throw a temper tantrum. Imagine the father who comes in the room and sees the child on the floor kicking his feet with a temper tantrum. And the father lies down on the floor and does the same thing. The child will think, though the child should not say it, if the child is wise, the child will think, I've just lost more respect for you. You are a blooming idiot. What are you doing on this floor kicking your feet? We raise people by raising our own lifestyle in discourse. I love this country, and I would suggest we take some time on Tuesday to get a handkerchief out and not to wave it for joy, but to wipe some tears away. Our country's in a mess. We're going to look today at three nations to cry for. I want to express appreciation to A. Lloyd Collins and John R. Rice for compiling much of the research that I use in this message. If you were making a list of three nations to cry for, what three nations would be on your list? Would Afghanistan be on your list? I bought a pair of inexpensive shoes over at that less expensive shoe store by the Walmart a week ago. And the young lady, there weren't many clerks in the store, but she was very kind and very helpful. And then when I got to the cash register, she was the one who did the cash register too. She did the product, and when I got there, she was there. And, very dignified, beautiful young woman. I suppose her early 20s. I said, I'm so glad to see you. I said, I appreciate the way you carry yourself. I very much appreciate your attire. I just appreciate your demeanor and your modesty. And I said, are you Hindu? And she said, no, I am Muslim. She said, I have come from Pakistan. And of course, the people have been assassinated very recently in Pakistan. So, and by the way, she thanked me. She said, I said, do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? She said, oh yes, I know about him. And she said, I respect him. But I said, but you don't see Jesus the same way I do. You see Jesus as simply a great prophet, right? And she was pleased that I knew her view of Jesus. If you're going to talk to people, you better find out something about where they're at, right? If you're going to relate. She was pleased that though she thought of Jesus as a great prophet, not as God. And the last thing she said to me when I walked away with the shoes, thank you for being so kind to me. I really appreciate the fact that you were kind to me. Now, would you have Pakistan on your list of three nations to cry for? Afghanistan, Great Britain, Iraq, Sudan, Somalia, Syria, 500,000 people wiped out in 4 years. Would Syria be on your list of three nations to cry for? Or Libya? Would Israel be on your list of three nations to cry for? She ought to be. Pray for the peace of Israel. Would the United States of America be on your list of three nations to cry for? According to the solo this morning, the U.S. should be on our list of nations to weep for. It's very serious, dear friends. As we come to the first nation on our list of three nations to cry for, look again at Jeremiah 2, verses 10 and 11a. God says through the preacher, pass over the isles of Kittim and see, and send down to Gadar and consider diligently and see if there be such a thing. Hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? Number one. Cry. Cry for the nation that offers good loyalty to bad gods. Cry for the nation that offers good loyalty to bad gods. Now, I would like to think that at the very end, before I left that shoe store, when she said, "Thank you for being so kind to me," maybe the door was cracked open just a quarter of an inch for me to go back sometime with a tract about Muhammad and the differences between Muhammad and the Lord Jesus. But I didn't leave that shoe store thinking that I was better than she is. I left that shoe store sad that she thinks Muhammad is going to get her eternal life. He cannot. He didn't rise again the third day. He was not very God of very God. Cry for the nation that offers good loyalty to bad gods. In many respects, Muhammad was a bad prophet. He was immoral. He was licentious. You say, "Preacher, you're not PC." I don't exist to be PC. I'm recalling the plain history of the prophet of Islam. Muhammad was licentious and he turned violent. And the violence is right in the Quran. Come on now. Violent Muslims are doing what the Quran says. The problem is Muhammad talked out of both sides of his mouth. One time he was for peace. The next time he said, "Kill all the infidels." He's a contradiction. But look where the thing went. And by its fruits you shall know it. Go and move to a substantially Muslim country like Nigeria, where my mother-in-law lived for 41 years, and you'll find out that the violence is built into the warp and woof of the book and the prophet. The plain truth is, peaceful Muslims are the exception. Come on. I said peaceful Muslims are the exception. The rule is according to the violence that Muhammad ended up with. That is historical truth. Cry for the nation that offers good loyalty to bad gods. G. Campbell Morgan, he wasn't a Baptist. Campbell Morgan makes the following comments on this passage, Jeremiah 2, 10 and 11. Campbell Morgan says, "If we glance at the religious world, we find that the most glaring infidelity, that is, the most glaring spiritual unfaithfulness, exists in the Christian church." You've got to follow him. Follow it through. Lock in. Follow his logic. He says the most glaring infidelity, that is unfaithfulness to the God you profess to love, the most glaring spiritual unfaithfulness exists in the Christian church. Men of other religions are far truer to their religious conceptions than we are to ours. For instance, the followers of Muhammad, said Campbell Morgan 60 years ago, it's not just me, for instance, the followers of Muhammad are far more loyal to him than we are to Christ. We may understand the mystery of Israel's departure from Jehovah and the Christian church's departure from Christ. the reason why the Hebrews and the Christians engage in a greater degree of infidelity is because the Hebrew God and the Christian God are on a higher level than all the other gods. And because the Hebrew God and the Christian God are more elevated, the gap is bigger. Campbell Morgan continues, the very fact of the failure of Israel and of the church to live up to standards and expectations is a proof of the supremacy of divinely revealed faiths, namely Judaism and Christianity. It's harder for a Hebrew and harder for a Christian to live up to the standard because the standards of the Hebrew God and the Christian God are higher. The gods of the Greeks drank, lied, and ran around with women. Right? You know much about Greek mythology? And so the gap for someone who's into Greek mythology, the performance gap is not as big. Are you with me? If you're with me, nod your head. Their gods are lower. You don't have to rise as high to be a good believer in Zeus. You can just go around zapping people all the time and be a good believer in Zeus. But when it comes to Christianity, and when it comes to Judaism, the matrix of Christianity, the gap is much bigger because the true God is much, much higher than false gods. So Calvin Morgan said, it's no wonder there's more marked, chartable infidelity with respect to the Hebrews and their God and the Christians and their God, because the God of the Hebrews and the Christians is much more exalted. The gods to which other men, that is, men other than Hebrews and Christians, the gods to which other men were faithful were the gods which they had made for themselves. Now that's a pretty cozy relationship. Are you getting it? I don't want to have too much expected of me, so I'll make my own God. And I won't make my own God much higher than me. I'll make my own God, in fact, a lot like me. Kelma Morgan says these gods of paganism are gods which the people evolved out of their own consciousness and out of their own level of thinking and living. When a man makes a god according to the pattern of his own being, he makes a god like himself, a mere enlargement of his own imperfection. So you have these Greek gods, you know. They had all the foibles, practiced most of the sins, because they were carved out as a mental construct in the minds of sinners who didn't want for there to be too big of a gap, because too big of a gap shows us up. And we want to be religious, but we don't want our gods to show us up too much. That's the whole story of paganism all the way through, not just Greek mythology. And so, what is held out? What is held out as the reward for someone who dies in jihad? It panders to the lust of man. For those who engage in jihad and die in jihad, what do they get when they die? I'll tell you what they get. A bunch of booze and 70 virgins. Now, that's not very elevated motivation, is it? Now, it's elevation at the level of Muhammad. Absolutely. So the construct of the reward is constructed after human depravity. Go ahead and get yourself blown up. Instantly, you get the booze and 70 virgins. When man makes his own God, he creates a slight enlargement of his own imperfection. Moreover, continues Campbell Morgan, the God which a man makes for himself will demand from him that which is according to his nature. And I pretty well illustrated that. I will give you, Mr. Jihadist, I will give you what is according to your nature. You want booze and women? I will give you booze and women. The God which a man makes for himself demands from him that which is according to the man's own nature. This is clearly evident in Islam as Muhammad engaged in blighting sensuality, which pervades the whole religion. And so, I'm candid with you today. Doesn't take a whole lot. Being a sensual man, let us say that I'm a sensual man. Doesn't take a whole lot for me to be faithful to a sensual religion. Talk to me. Does it? I just step up a little bit. If I am a man given over to sensuality, it's not hard to hit the goals of a sensual religion. If I'm a violent man, if I have a temper, well, I tell you what, just let me strap a bomb on my chest. Very convenient, isn't it? And God says that the people who used to love him have walked away from that relationship of love and have made a very poor deal in this matter of gods. They've gone after Baal. Fertility religion. That's what Baal and his consort Ashtaroth were all about. Religion with fertility rites, R-I-T-E-S. Fertility exercises built right into it up in the groves. That's what the Israelites wanted to do. So they gravitated toward the sensual gods and goddesses like Baal and Ashtaroth. And that's exactly what the United States has done. That's exactly what Canada and Great Britain have also done. We're looking at three nations to cry for. First nation we should cry for is that nation that offers good loyalty to a bad God. This country used to be distinctive. I'm for everything for which the Statue of Liberty stands. Did you hear that? Bring me, you're tired, you're restless, breathing to be free. I'm for everything that the Statue of Liberty stands for. But it was understood back when that Frenchman built Lady Liberty. It was understood that when you come here, you assimilate, and you don't come to change us. You come because you love America and you come willing to be changed. You come. If you're going to take the blessings of America, then take the roots and the distinctives of America. Don't come to blow America up. What insanity! The Constitution does not mean Lady Liberty, does not mean we invite people to our shores. to make a mockery of our Christ and slit the throats of Christians. The same people tell their own Arab people, pay a fine, convert or die. That's not the word of a God. That's the word of a despot. That's hatred. Cry for the nation that gives good loyalty to a bad God.
The Lord, so very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.